This is the part where I gotta tell you that basically I'm recording you, so there you go. But for those of you listening, welcome to the Great Girth Podcast. I am one half of your favorite fat duo. That is me, Tony, whatever. My other half is running late, but Austin will join us shortly. Otherwise, returning as a loyal friend and fan of the show, the Bear of Texas himself, Mr. Alex Alcazaz. Alex, buddy, thanks for coming back.
Well, thanks for the invitation. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries, dude. I just figured, you know what, this would be perfect. We had that, you know, the text message conversation, and I was like, yeah, let's do comic books. But then I was like, not trying to profit off of your pain, but I got to thinking, man, I'm going through something similar, and this would be the perfect time to talk about it. So honestly,
I agree, because you know what? I feel like you and Austin are like, you know, one of the few out there that actually make the effort of listening to my work.
Hey, man, I do try. I'm not going to lie, though. I am definitely straddling along with YouTube. So typically I try to focus mostly on your YouTube content, but I'm also helping you on Spotify. It's just Spotify, bro. I'm going to be straightforward, honest. I always make Spotify like the back burner of everything. The reason why is, I've noticed, and it's not just your show, dude, it's fucking everybody. Most of the time when somebody do YouTube and Spotify uploads, Spotify, it sounds way different. It just sounds...
Right. It does.
It sounds like cloudy, whereas if you watch it on YouTube, it looks like way better. It sounds better. So, and plus, dude, I'm more of a YouTube guy, but I'm definitely trying to go back and forth.
I appreciate that. I think it's because an audio file and a video file differs.
It does, man, because it's happened to me before, too. Some of them, Spotify specifically, some of them sound like shit, even if I download the original file, because I've tried doing that, too, and it just never works. But aside from all the fun talk, I figured let's jump right into it. So for those of you that don't know, we were going to talk about something a little different, and then we decided let's talk about something extremely different, something we really haven't done at all, if you ask me. I mean, we've touched on this subject before, but essentially we want to talk about, you hear this phrase thrown around all the time, generational curses, or just parenting in general, whether you are a parent or you want to talk from the perspective of being a child, because you have parents. And that's, you know, same thing for me. I mean, this was a perfect episode because I figured I'm going through something. You're going through something. Austin knows what it's like going through that stuff too. So why not talk about it? We never get serious. So why not spend the time? Oh, speak of the devil, he shall appear. Oh my God.
There he is. Mr. Sinister.
Bro, I just saw the way your hair was set up like that. And I was like, yo, this would have been a perfect meme. Like if your dad had hair like this man's, you probably have siblings you've never met. Like you look like you were Lord coming from church. But no, we were just talking about you because I was talking to the listeners, if you will, about what our plan is with tonight's topic. So we want to talk, you know, parenting, and not just parenting, just kind of our experiences in the world of being a kid to an adult now. And I think one of those reasons I've been wanting to talk about this is because, again, it is a personal thing for me, and it's also, why not? I mean, it's a topic we haven't really touched on, so I figured, fuck it, we'll just jump right into it. And, you know, Alex, with you being the guest, I don't want to hog up too much of your time by starting this off with my bullshit and where the inspiration for this topic comes from for me, so I would like to give you the stage. I figure, well, let's start out with this. I texted this to Austin too. I said, why don't we talk about how what most people don't understand is that words do affect you from an early age that you carry it with you to as you get older.
Absolutely.
This is something that people don't talk about a lot. So why don't you give us your take on this, on the words that I just spilled for you, and let the world know, based on your experience, what that statement means to you and how you can back it up.
You see, when a child is verbally and emotionally abused, that pain does not go away. That kind of stuff, trauma, it scars you for life. And I'm speaking from experience, not just at home, but from what happened at school. You know, sometimes when you tell somebody that you hate them,
right,
a lot of times it hurts them. Yeah, they say hate's a strong word. Now, I do use that word, but I never want to use it towards somebody. Like if I say, I don't do that because I don't like it. But, you know, sometimes you have to understand, you know, from a certain perspective. I mean, for me specifically, now there's a whole story right now going on with me, especially with a change that I've recently made. Tony, I know you know about it, but I'm not sure if Austin knows.
I have not told him, actually, no. Not unless you've told him.
No, I did not. Alex, might as well announce it out of the now, closet. Right?
Yeah, might as well make the announcement on the show. I mean, I welcome it.
Well, this Sunday on Easter, I'm getting baptized. I found Christ earlier this month. I made a decision. So, and I'm proud of my decision. I feel good about it. I've been going to church. I've read the Bible. I've been going to a group that I've been invited to. And I needed it. Some would say, did you only do this because you hope that doing this is going to make your shows get better? I'm like, no, I did this because I needed a way. I needed guidance. I needed a good relationship with God. Because I'll be honest, I didn't have one. The previous religion that I grew up in, it didn't do me any good. It did not. Islam didn't do me any good. And I did tell my parents today, and they are furious about it. And I mean furious about it. Look.
We don't do this very often, but Alex, would you mind if... Sorry, I'm getting emotional. It's best news I've heard, and I mean, a really, really long time. Do you mind if we take like just a minute and I pray for you really quick?
Oh, please.
Everybody listening, I know this isn't usually what you do. We're usually kind of fun, but I mean, this is not only just incredible news, but it's putting Alex down a great path, but a very, very hard one. I'm quickly reminded that God said that He came not to create. Jesus said that He came not to create peace and but that acknowledging Him will tear apart families, turn sons against their sons and daughters against their parents, and parents against them, brothers against their sisters, and it's a very difficult path to date, and so. I want to quickly, Lord, thank you so much for being here and protecting us and guiding us. And most importantly, I come to ask you to help Alex, give him your strength, your peace, as he continues down the pathway that's difficult, but the most fulfilling path that you can take. And Lord, thank you for bringing us this opportunity, and guide and direct us in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 And I appreciate that. And look, one way or the other, they were gonna know, right? So right now, I'm letting my parents whenever they cool off, we'll take it from there. But I already prayed to the Lord, and I said, I forgive my parents for everything. I forgive anybody who ever hurt me. I forgive them all.
Well, that's the most important thing is forgiveness.
I used to be one of the biggest grudgy people ever until I made this change. It's something to go away from everything that's been traumatizing me. Let me be honest, my adult life's been a mess. I'm 31. I have no money. I can't even afford my own place. And I feel like finding Christ is the way to help fix that. It's not going to happen overnight. And some people say, you really did that, you really found Christ just for that. Like, the skepticism out there is just like, they don't get it.
It's unreal. I mean, that's the sad part, man, because I've always been a believer. It just took me, I told this story before on the show, but I'll do a quick version. So essentially, I was raised Christian and, excuse me, still getting over a little cold. I was raised Christian, but by the time I was a teenager, I kind of started like falling out. I think a lot of it was just I was a kid and I didn't want to listen to my parents. I mean, that's always one of the biggest indicators.
Right.
The other thing was, though, It took meeting my wife for me to kind of understand that it wasn't that I was a non-believer, like I was claiming. I was full, I was straight up like a, I don't like Jesus and this and that, dude. Like, I was all into that. And then it took me and my wife to kind of have her put it in a way that it made more sense to me, where I was like, okay, so now it makes sense to me. So, you know, she had asked me, like, hey, you're saying that you don't believe in God, but then you're saying you're mad at God, that you question God. And she's like, you know, I'm not judging you. I would hope that that's something we could have if we're going to have a family, especially a life together. And I will tell you this. It sounds like you believe. It just sounds like you're not at peace. Sounds like you're just mad. And I was like, yeah, whatever. Well, I'm not touching that one. And then, like, you know, it took time. And I was like, no, she's 100% right. I am not at peace with God. I was very mad. Sorry, I don't want to get too emotional, but I had a...
I'm the same way, I know. For so long, I was lost. I was lost.
I had a lot going on in my life.
I was lost, and I was angry,
you know,
and I needed something.
Yeah, dude, and honestly, when I accepted that, and I started being faithful to the Lord, then I was happy all of a sudden, dude. All my pain went away. Like, I don't want to steal from an artist, but Alice Cooper, and I'm probably butchering this, but he once said that he knew for a fact that, again, I'm just paraphrasing, I'm probably going to fuck this up, but Alice Cooper said one time that he knew hell wasn't smoking pot with fucking Jim Morrison and, you know, all these other guys. He's like, that isn't hell. It's not having that relationship with God. It's knowing that where I go after this, that's going to be hell if I don't go on the right path. And I like that, because a lot of people think that finding God is about giving up the things that make you a rebel or the things that you battle with. And like, no, that's not at all what it is. It's knowing that you are a creation of someone higher than you that put you here for a reason. It is knowing that that person is going to take care of you. And I'm saying person because people like to use different words, entity. I'm just going to say person, but we all know who I'm talking about. Big man upstairs. It's knowing that there is that connection. It is knowing that that up there is watching you. And at every waking moment, testing you, because he's testing your faith. He's already mapped it all out for you. It's all about your trust in him. Knowing that there is a plan for everything. And as long as you stay faithful, you will get there. As long as you are willing to open your arms and welcome him into you, you will be in the eternal place. Heaven. Let's just call it what it is, heaven. But to me, that's what finding God is all about. That's what accepting God is. It's not, I'm going to stop listening to NWA. Or like, I've heard so many crazy stuff. Like, I got a friend that he found God, and I'll give him credit where it's due. He gave up smoking and drinking because that was a big part of his problem. But it took him time. And people judge him all the time. But I use him as an example because to this day, he's like so severe about it. And I'm proud of him because I'm like, you know, yeah, that let's be adults. Both of those things are bad for you, right? Like, they're not good for you. But he was a person that experienced what it was like battling it, and he gave it up. And I'm like, you know, I'm proud of you, but there are some people that it's just not realistic. Some people would view it as, oh, you're a smoker and a drinker, you can't be a Christian. Like, that's not exactly true. Essentially, what I'm getting at is that's your relationship with God. What you do is between you and God. Anybody can say that too, murderers, anybody. But that's what I believe. I believe that is what you are doing is between you and God, that you will have to answer for that one day, of course.
And I'm ready to. Every time I pray, I always confess to what I did.
But the most important thing I've learned, man, is just being yourself and trusting God to take care of you.
I do.
You'll go miles, man. Like, it's crazy how...
I do.
Well, you know,
I've devoted myself to our Lord and our Savior. Jesus is my Savior.
Doesn't it lift that cloud off of you, though? It lifts like that. Doesn't it lift like that weight off you though? Like once you
When
you find God, it's weird, man. It's like it really is like you become healed. It's hard to explain. People have to experience it themselves, in my opinion. But everything that you worried about, everything that brought you down, everything that harmed you, it just goes away. You start to think about the bigger picture. You don't really think about the shit that wears you down as much. Like, is it stressful? Yeah. I mean, I'm a prime example. I have battles every fucking day. I have battles where I'm questioning what the plan is. I have days where I openly admit that I'm mad because I don't know what's going on. That's where you take that time to assess that situation and have that open connection with God. It's something that people ironically don't talk about on podcasts, unless they're a Christian podcast, which.
Right. Yeah. And this is what the gray girth is. I mean, we don't sugarcoat nothing.
Now, right. We speak freely.
Some people would have warned me, you might not want to make this announcement on live air. I'm like, I'm going to do it. And they think, well, think of the backlash you'll get from, you know, the Islamic community. And I just said, I'm saved by Christ. I'm protected by Christ. I shall fear no evil. I don't have to fear evil. So, you know what? Bring them on.
Now, let me ask you this, Alex, because since we're talking about, you know, religious upbringings, so as a kid, I'm assuming you were, what was your teachings? I know you mentioned it a little bit briefly, but what were you brought up on in terms of a religion?
Islam.
Okay.
But not in a devout Islamic household. And it was an Islamic household, but my parents aren't devout. Okay. They are strict. Although they did allow me to do like that. So they, but at the same time, you know, it's just how things were going on at home with my parents, they fight all the time. They always fought. I would do one little thing and if I was trying to learn something, my dad trying to show me something, one little thing I do wrong, he just immediately starts yelling. You see a lot of things. And, you know, I've seen a lot of Muslim kids suffer like that too. So you talk about questioning. That's when I started questioning. I'm like, so it's normal in this religion to verbally and emotionally abuse a child or to abuse somebody that doesn't, you know, follow the rules?
And that's something that
the fact that a lot of these growing up Muslim kids picked on me. I was never really welcomed by them because I didn't speak Arabic. I wasn't really educated on the religion, and they would use that. And so now I'm asking, so this is what the religion's about? You know, do what I tell you or go to hell? Because they always say, well, if you do this, you're going to go to hell. I'm like, well, first of all, you don't decide whether I go to hell or not. God decides. And I doubt that I'm a demon because I eat pork or because I drink beer.
Right. That's my thing. I understand why people don't drink beer. I fully understand it. Again, like we were saying, let's be adults. It's not good for you. It's bad for you. But
I only do it when I watch football, when I watch soccer or wrestling for that matter. I do it.
I drink socially. Occasionally. Yeah, I drink.
I've only been drunk one time, and I never want to do it again.
Well, I tried to go cold turkey years ago. Austin remembers this, and I did pretty well. I went over a year, but then I started drinking again. And what I did was I started cutting it down to occasionally. So, like, if I go to a concert, which is like once in a blue moon, like once every 6 months, or yeah, if there's a pay per view on, so I guess that's once a month with wrestling. But if there's a wrestling pay per view, I'll go to the store and I'll grab like a 12 pack or I'll grab a couple like IPAs, something that'll put me on my ass for the night. And that's it. I really don't like having beer in the house because, and again, this goes back to our topic with parenting. I just don't want my kids to see it. The oldest one is smart. She knows what alcohol is. She knows what it does to you. And she knows that it's for adults. So unfortunately, you know, there's no lying to a 9-year-old, but
right.
I really just don't want my kids to grow up with that. I understand that for a lot of families, that's normal. I mean, I came from like a whitewashed Mexican family. So like you have one half of this family tree that's white. The other is like Mexican. Some of it's Arabic. And it's like the best way I can describe my family, man, is we really were like the people you see in Fast and Furious having Sunday barbecue with a prayer and a Corona. Like that was us. I was in a Mexican family. Every weekend there was a party, every birthday party was an excuse to drink. I remember this, man. The garage door would be open and my stepdad would put out 3 coolers. One was jam-packed with Kool-Aid jammers and, you know, it's like some juice of sorts The other was soda for all the teenagers that were watching the kids so the parents could be drunk. And the last one, the biggest one, was for the fucking adults. It was all the beer and all the hard liquor just stored in there. And to me, that was normal. That's how I grew up. It took meeting other people and, you know, different cultures to understand that that's not... I don't think that it's fair to say that it's not normal to grow up that way, but to some people, that's the opinion. For me, it's really just about how you hold yourself as a person. I'm not really a big believer in judging people completely on their actions. It's fair to say that, you know, your actions do speak louder than words, or, you know, they speak volumes, but I don't think that we should just judge people based on their actions. Like, I never judged my grandfather, who was a hardworking man, who also was Christian. Well, he was Catholic, but he was a religious guy that drank and smoked and wasn't the best person in the world, even though I love him to death. I wouldn't judge him off of those. I mean, those things, they didn't define him. Yes, he was a smoker and a drinker, but he was also a good Catholic. So, I mean, I guess it really depends on who you ask, you know, like when it comes to upbringing. But I do think that, to be fair, from the assessment I got from you, and for as long as I've known you, so you are definitely an Americanized child. Is it fair to say that while your family did good at raising you, the school raised you? The parents took care of you, but the school raised you. Is that a fair assessment, just judging by the fact that...
A bit in a sense. Now, from kindergarten through third grade, I was in a French international school, and that's where a lot of the verbal and emotional abuse took place, at least from teachers as well. Now, bullying continued, but that was from students moving forward. But I guess somewhat maybe in the school now, at the same time, at least at school, I mean... I really didn't really understand because, you know, when I was finally put in American school, I mean, after what I had gone through, I mean, I had a behavior issue. And, you know, and as far as judging goes, I mean, look, people say it's normal for parents to have arguments. I'm like, is it normal to have intense screaming matches almost every day over the stupidest things? And some people say yes. I'm like, I'm blown away. Like, I can't accept that. No. It's not for parents to get in screaming matches that involves throwing insults and doing this in front of your children and never really giving a damn about it, because my parents don't care. See, my dad has never apologized for any of the stuff that he's done. My mom only apologizes if it comes back and bites her in the ass. Other than that, she doesn't give a damn. I still love my parents, but at the same time, I will say I will not ignore your mistakes. Your mistakes, you can be forgiven for them, but you still need to understand what you did.
I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, as much as I have, you know, frustrations with my parents, I love them, but same thing, I won't ignore the mistakes. I mean, that's how I try to correct my parenting. I don't want to be like my dad was. I love my dad, and I always use this analogy about him. He was a good father. He wasn't a good dad. He didn't.
You know what? Really... Yeah, exactly. Well,
yeah, like he didn't become
a great father. But not the best dad. That's just my bad. I can't say he's bad at either, because he paid for my education. So all the good he did. So that's why I can't say he's bad at anything.
Yeah, like my dad was a good worker and a provider, but that's what he was. He was a worker and a provider. He wasn't really a dad.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
Like he wasn't there when I needed him. He was there as a father, not a dad. And for people that are confused by what I'm saying, what I mean is, I feel like, and I have pretty traditional parents. I think it's fair to say that us three guys are from a generation that had a lot of questionable parenting. A lot of us came from broken homes. So it is definitely fair to say that you can use that as an assessment.
Broken home. I would just say for me, just dysfunctional parents. Because again. Well, they fight all the time.
Right. I was going to say in your case,
they would scream, and the way I would learn math is by being verbally and emotionally abused. I mean, again, my dad provided, gave me a lot of stuff, you know, took on vacations and whatnot. They would argue, get into huge arguments on vacations, you know, like that. So, but I don't know how to explain it the best. I mean, my dad, you know, like that, it's just a lot of mistakes that my dad did. And just, and while he's great, you know, again, it's hard to explain. It really is.
Well, my relationship with my dad has changed over the years. Like when I was 17, I would say that's when he started becoming a real dad, because that was when he had the time to sit with me and tell me, like, hey, you know what? I kind of fucked up your childhood, and I am sorry about that. I can't change that. I can't make it better, but I can make it right, which is to tell you that I acknowledge fully that there are things that you shouldn't have seen. There are experiences you shouldn't have had, and there are words you shouldn't have heard.
That's what I want my dad to do. That's what I would love for my parents to do.
Well, I will say this. Thus far, my biological father is the only one that's stepped up to that plate. And I'm not trying to shit on my mother or my stepfather because I love them both, but my dad is kind of the only one that's opened up about it. My mom is now, because ironically, my dad and my mom get along. So do my mom and my stepmom, and vice versa. Like, they all hang out now, which is great. It only took 30 years, but I mean, like, it's cool that they're getting along. And I think it's good because, like I said, my mom is finally starting to open up and kind of see the error in her ways, because, again, I love her and I'm not trying to shit on her, but my mom was the type of person for the longest time that it would be fair to say that she would go to the grave thinking that she did nothing wrong. You know, like, that was just her persona. And now that she's getting older, now that I'm older, and now that my parents get along, I think she's kind of seeing that, and she's realizing, like, you know, life is too short to just be like this the entire time and to never change it for the better. And she's seeing that, and so now things are getting better. But I won't ignore the mistakes, because, again, I'm not going to hold it against them. I think it actually did a lot of good for me, because it taught me how to be the parent that I want to be. It also taught me the things that I don't want to do. And arguing is one of them, man. I grew up watching parents fight all the time. And that was kind of one of the first things my wife and I tackled when we were like, hey, how do you want to do this parenting thing? And I was like, we do not fight in front of our kids. We don't discuss money in front of them, unless it's like a small matter. But we don't talk about any adult stuff that should not concern a child when they need to be a child. And when it comes to arguments, again, not in front of the kids. And if it's something that we can't, like, step away from, like, right now, I've got a little man in the house now, and somebody has to watch him at all times. You know, the older one, she watches the middle one pretty well. They're like sidekicks, man. They're just like buddies, you know. But now that we have a little man, and we can't just go behind closed doors, because my parents tried doing that too. But in my opinion, that's also super obvious. What we've used, which is probably not the best tool, but in my opinion, it works, text messaging. If it's a really bad fight and we can't be around each other and it has to be discussed, we will text each other. And we will still play the role of mom and dad in front of our children, because that's what they deserve.
Right.
If they're not around, then yeah, for sure, it's definitely going to be a screaming match. But I've learned from growing up as a kid with my parents that there are things you do and don't do. And that's one of them, is like, you don't argue in front of your kids, especially because that sets an example. You're showing your sons and your daughters how to treat your wives and your husbands.
Mm-hmm. See, that's why I vowed if my parents do decide to talk to me again, because mm-hmm. right now they don't want to speak to me, I'm gonna tell them, well, here's the deal. You should be glad, because me doing this is the best chance you have now of being grandparents.
Right.
Even though you don't deserve it.
I mean, shit, man, I find myself making some of the same mistakes my parents did. Like, my attitude towards my oldest is definitely on par with how my dad was with me. And it fucks me up a little bit. I've had open, like, you know, conversations with her, sat her down, because she's getting older to the point where I can't talk to her like she's a baby anymore. And that's insulting to talk to a kid like they're stupid, dude. It's fucked up. So
I wish my parents still do that to me. They're overbearing, man. Overbearing.
Right. Well, we talk all the time.
Despite every critical thing, I love my parents and I forgive them. I will acknowledge the wrongdoings.
Yeah.
That's what we have to do. I've acknowledged wrongdoings.
I think it's important to do that as a parent, though, too. Like, right. When I talk with my kid about things, I do pull her aside and I tell her, like, you know what? I am sorry for the way I acted. You were being disrespectful, or whatever the scenario is. I'll explain why I got mad, and then I'll explain why it was wrong for me to react the way I did. And the reason I do that is because I feel like that's something that as a parent you should do. Because when I was a kid, I really did fear my dad for the longest time. I was afraid
of him. I feared mine, yeah.
He would fuck me up, dude. And like, I'm not one of those naysayers when it comes to discipline. Like, I do think that some kids need a fucking pat on the ass, but there's a way of going about it. You know, like, I feel like there's a certain age where you really shouldn't do that. And to me, spanking, any of that shit is a last resort. I am very much against slapping your kid. I don't think you should ever slap your kid.
See, that for me, it was right here, right there, or, you know, with the belt.
Mine sometimes, was like, yeah, right
sometimes
here.
Like this in the butt, but.
I'd get a cuff on the face.
See, I mean, a lot of times, I mean, yeah, that it was like that right here, you know, some in the back of the head. Right. It hurt.
I will say, though, that the message does get mixed up, though, because when we talk about this stuff, people tend to mix it and they think that what we're really saying or what anyone in this position is saying is that you need to be a friend to your kid. And that's not at all what I'm saying. I do not at all believe in the notion that you are your kid's friend. You're not. You're the parent. It's okay to have a friendship type of relationship with them, but you're still the parent. Like you still have a say in what goes. And I feel like we've lost a touch with that because of the bad parenting in the past. I mean, I've met teenagers that think that their parents basically don't own them. I'm like, you belong to them, motherfucker. Unless you can get emancipated and at age 13, you can't. You're theirs. I hate to say that to you. You don't want to hear that because in your liberal teacher and your doctors have all told you that's abuse. No, it's not. You belong to your parents until you're 18 or until you get emancipated and get the fuck out of the house.
Right.
I'm a big believer in that. Like, I left early. I was 19. But still, at the same time, we need to correct the way we approach parenting because we could always be wrong. Like I said, I have those moments where I turn into my dad and I'm like, fuck, I'm messing this kid up.
That's what I fear of, me becoming like my dad, like me screaming at my child off the top of my lungs and scaring him and making him cry and then never.
Right.
And then maybe saying, well, you know what? Maybe if you'd listened to me, I wouldn't have done it. See, like that. That's how it was.
That's how it was for me too, man.
My dad just likes to justify what he did. And then again, if you bring him up, he just arrogantly says, well, I am bad. So I'm like, so you can tell my dad's proud of what he did.
That's how my dad used to be.
That's why I would tell him, well, then you know what? I'm proud that I'm not like you.
I will say that if there is one thing that I really wish my parents would have done differently, I do kind of wish that they would have supported me better in terms of like my dreams and aspirations, because my parents were realist, which is fine. There is nothing wrong with a reality. I think you should have a reality. I mean, I tell my daughter all the time, dude, I'm like, you want to be a fucking professional singer like Taylor Swift? I hope you don't. I hope you do better than Taylor Swift. That being said, I fully support your dream. However, you need to have a reality too. You have to have a reality to pay for your dream. Dreams don't just happen overnight. I know motherfuckers that had to sleep in their cars, had to deliver pizza just so they can make enough money to send in a fucking headshot to a studio. Like, that's just how that is, dude. Like, you need to have a reality. And I think that it's wrong to tell a kid, no, chase your dreams, fuck getting a real job. But I also think it's wrong to say, fuck your dreams, get a real job. Like, that's fucked up. And my parents, they tried to some extent. I'll give them that. I'll give them where they were like, oh, okay, yeah, that's cool. You know, you like to write. Okay, chase your dreams. That's awesome. But they weren't always, like, supportive of it. They were just like, anyway, how's that job hunt going?
That's exactly it.
Yeah, exactly. Which is fine. Because, like, I get it. Some parents are like that. But I think that it's wrong to just shit on your kids' dreams. I mean, I come home from work one day, man, and I'm just in a bad mood. Like, today I was in a bad fucking mood. And I'm irritable, dude. I don't want to talk. And my oldest is the one that likes to talk the loudest and the most. And I'm working every day on how I approach that without blowing up on her. Well, anyway, this one day, I blew up on her. I was like, God, dude, I don't want to hear it. I'm annoyed. Please leave me alone. I just got in here. Like, I'm giving her every reason to think that she did something wrong when it was me. And it took me to sit there and stop because I can see a tear in her eye, dude. And she runs away and I'm like, I heard this kid's feelings. Like, that's a fact. So I grab her before she can run off and I turn around and I hug her. And I'm like, look, I'm sorry. And no matter what it is in this world, if you want to do it, do it. Don't let anyone tell you that you can't do something, including me. Don't let anyone tell you you can't do something.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't have a parent to tell me that stuff. I had parents that were like, dude, you need to get your fucking academics in order. You need to get a job so you can figure out rent. You need to get college figured out. Meanwhile, I didn't want to do any of those things. I think it's fair to say most people don't want to go to college when they're young because they're thinking about being stars. But
right,
I really just wanted to write. I wanted to make a living off of writing, and I honestly went to college because it was a requirement to live at home. So I took a lot of writing classes, and that's kind of where that direction was going. And I could tell my parents were kind of like annoyed with that, you know, but.
Wow, mine are definitely.
My cover story was I'm going to be a teacher, which technically was what I was going for. I never wanted to go to college to begin with. I knew that that wasn't the right place for me. And I went, and I'm not trying to shit on anyone that went to college, but for me personally, it was useless. It served no purpose.
I mean, I only went because my dad paid my education.
Well, yeah, like I was saying, my parents helped me out. Well, actually, this is an interesting story. I had to apply for financial aid because my parents were old school. They were like, you want to go to school? Awesome. Pay for it. You know, which that's a hard one to touch. Cause I agree with both sides of the coin, which is that's not fair. You should help your kid if you're going to tell them they got to go out and do something. But I fully agree that you got to teach your kids how to work for shit and how to earn mm-hmm. stuff and pay for stuff. So that's a different topic for another time. But anyway, I had to get financial aid, and then I found out I couldn't get it because I was going off of my mom and stepdad's income and they made too much. And the answer was, oh, well, basically. And then it turned into, we'll figure it out. But I ended up having to use my biological dad's income because he made close to nothing, unfortunately, at least at that time. So I had to use that to go to school. With that being said, when I failed a class, I heard from him. Guaranteed, I heard from him. He would call me like, motherfucker, you owe me $650. You better figure this shit. Like, he would go off on me, dude, because he was going to pay for it. Because the way financial aid works, if you don't pass a class or you don't take a certain amount of hours, you could end up owing money. Right. And I ended up owing money, dude. Like, I fucking failed college, dude. I didn't even, like, tell them that I wasn't going back. I just stopped fucking going. And then over time, the bills came in and they're like, yo, you owe us like $1,400. And at the time, that was like, I don't have $1,000. Like, I don't have $1,400. Luckily, now that I'm an older man, that's nothing. So I got off pretty easy, if you ask me. I just feel that if you're going to tell your kids they have to do something, you need to help them, provide them with the tools. And at the same time, you need to admire and help them chase their aspirations. I mean, even if they don't want to be someone famous, what if your kid wants to be a fucking engineer? Right? Okay, then help them become that. Help them by giving them the tools that they will need so that they can create their own path for success.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it doesn't have to be like, oh, my son wants to be the next rock star out there that's like Green Day. It could be anything. You just have to help your kids in that aspect. And I feel like a lot of parents these days, well, at least not these days, maybe in the past, they didn't really do a lot of that. Unless you came for money, parents really didn't help with that stuff. Most stories I've heard, parents did not play a role in it. If they did, it was because they had money or they were the people I knew, they were in like a, I'll just say it. They were in one of those families where like the dad and the mom kind of picked your career for you. So similar to like, if you're Arabian, because I've heard that that's very much how it works. They pick your fucking future for you. So
I think that's in every culture. But
it is, dude. It really is.
My parents did try that. I mean, they wanted to be, you know, engineer, doctor, this, that. I mean, one time I wanted to be a police officer. My parents completely crapped on it. Of course, they're going to say it's not true. They're just going to say Alex is just whining and complaining. I'm like, no, it is true. They did, in fact, crap on my dreams of being in law enforcement.
See, I wanted to do it.
And when I want, you know, told them I want to be a sports writer and a broadcaster, they try to discourage me from them. Like, I'm not gonna do what you want. I'm not gonna do what you want. See, like me learning to play the piano as a kid, I never wanted it. My dad made me do it. Karate, my dad made me do it.
Right.
I wanted to be a Boy Scout one time, and my parents would not let me. I wanted to play baseball, basketball. They would not let me.
Probably a good thing they didn't let you become a Boy Scout. Them little boys get touched in that.
Probably, but I think it's because of my serious learning disability. It would have been too much. It's because I had one of my best friends was a Boy Scout, so I wanted to do what he was doing because he was showing me a lot of cool stuff. I mean, the fact that it was my that friend, he's the one who taught me how to tie my shoelaces because he did it without screaming at me and hitting me in the back of the head. He took it. He told me to take my time. He did it. He basically did what a good friend does. He motivated me and he showed me. And then he did it the right way. So it's sad that a 10-year-old did what a 40-plus-year-old could not do.
You know, it's crazy. My parents made me do shit all the time that I didn't want to do either. Like, for example, and to be honest, I don't hold this against them because it actually ended up working out. 2 years in a fucking row, my parents made me go to a Christian Bible camp, which sounded fucking dumb. Even at 9, 10 years old, I was just so irritated about it. But I ended up going both times, and I actually ended up loving it because, dude, I'm going to be honest, like, I didn't come from a poor family. I came from, like, a middle-class family, but we were penny pinchers, so I didn't really get to do outdoor ed or any of the stuff that kids get to do. If it wasn't for being forced to go to Christian Bible camp, I wouldn't have been able to fucking go camping, dude, because that was 90% of that trip. It was camping. The 10% was wake up, say a prayer at breakfast, go to the seminar where they do the lecture and they talk about God, and then you go about your day, you eat dinner and do the same thing again, go to another, right. they called them seminars, but they were, you know,
it's like a Sunday morning service, I guess. The pastor kind of just does, yeah, you know, the usual thing and then tells a story and, you know, like that. Yeah. And it is, yeah, fun. I'll be honest. Yeah.
Yeah. It was awesome. Fun. I loved it.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
When I have kids, I'm going to force them to go to Bible camp.
I think it's a good thing for them, man, because like I said, from my experience, it was mostly camping, and they found a way to integrate Christian teachings with camping. Like, we would play capture the flag, and basically every time that the team scored a point or the team lost a person, you would go to what we call, for example, yeah, if you lost a person because they got caught with a flag, they had to go to the other person's base. The base was where the camp counselors were reading passages from the Bible that were in relation to competition, things like that. They found a way to integrate it. And as a kid that didn't know much about religious teachings other than going to church, it was helpful. I mean, I didn't have parents around. It was teenagers taking care of us, and we're all just trying to have a good time. So, I mean, it was a pretty good environment. And like I said, I don't blame them for it, but it was something that was forced. It was something I didn't want to do. And like, I didn't want to do, karate either, or taekwondo, but
I did end up loving karate.
Loving them because my stepdad was like, no, you're gonna do it, your brother's doing it, let's fucking do it. So,
and if I have fun kids, I'll explore, I'll see yes, something they like. If you know, okay, well, I call it football, but we call it soccer. Like, if my son sees me watching football and he sits down and starts imitating the players and ask me, daddy, can you get me, you know, the ball? I'm like, sure, yeah. I'm like, okay. Then I'll probably talk to the wife, like, well, he's loving it, so maybe we should sign him up for it. And that's, you know, now he's asked, do I plan on like what religion? I'm like, well, if I'm gonna raise my children, it's gonna be with the Christian faith. Now, am I gonna teach them about the Arab culture? I definitely will. I'll definitely do that, but I'm not gonna force. I'm not gonna like do like the same thing my parents did.
Right. See, I do something similar with my kids. I find,
I'm sure, I would have to talk to the wife. I'm like, well,
right.
If I only want one child, like, well, I'll definitely cook him some Middle Eastern foods and tell him a little bit of this, tell him a little bit of that, but I'm not gonna force anything on our child.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that's
what I would tell. And she says, well, what if your parents? I'm like, if my parents try any of the stuff they did, here's the deal: we just don't let them see them. And one day I'll have to tell our child why I could not allow him to see his grandparents on his daddy's side. I'm like, it's because they wanted to do the same thing to him what they did to me. They wanted to get in arguments at his third birthday. They wanted to force him to do, they wanted my dad to tell him, no, you go do this, go do that. And then, you know, get in a screaming match, you know, and again, at his third birthday. I'm like, I'm not going to let my parents put a child through what I did.
Well, that's your responsibility as a parent too, for sure, yeah, man. Like, I do, there have been times where I had to sit my parents down and kind of tell them, like, hey, that's, it's all fine and dandy in your house, but in my home, we don't do it like that, or we don't do these types of teachings in my house, which I've only had a handful of conversations because the way I raise my kids is pretty much emulated from the way I was raised, just minus the mistakes. You know, it's very, very similar. I mean, I even try to find bonding moments to decide how I'm going to like get my kids to do shit. So like, here's a good example. This is actually my favorite one by far. And this is new. This was yesterday. So, well, let me tell the full extent of the story and then we'll, you know, about a week ago, I saw a post on Instagram for the new Crow movie, the Crow remake. We got a first look at what he looks like. It's Bill Skarsgård. Cancel it. That's all I'm going to say. Anyway, as a big fan of that series and that comic book, I was like, fuck it. I'm going to go watch the OG one like I used to. I come home one day from work, dude. I turn it on and I'm watching it, totally forgetting about the fact that I have a 9 and 3-year-old that are in the background watching this movie with me. And the 9-year-old, she's watching it intently, and she's like, what movie is this? And I told her it's called The Crow. She's like, oh, is he like a bad guy? And I was like, ah, I can see what's going on here. We're going to have a bonding moment. Like, I can feel it. And I was like, is it scaring you? Is it freaking you out? I'll turn it off. This is just something that daddy likes. And she was like, no, it's pretty cool. I'm like, all right, so we're watching it. And then she's like, can we go to the beginning, though? I missed, like, I feel a lot of this story. And I was like, yeah, sure, I guess.
Same thing for me in wrestling. Like, if my son ends up wanting to pursue a career in pro wrestling, what I'll do is, like, I'll eventually say, okay, fine. But you're getting your education first.
Well, education's important. That's
Thing. And I'll probably have a wrestling. If by any chance I know a famous pro wrestler, I'll have him come to the house to explain to my son, well, you can be a pro wrestler if you want, but you got to understand how this business works. Get your education first. Find something else, too, that you like. Get your degree in that because, look, you're not guaranteed of anything.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that.
If my son wants to be a journalist or a podcaster like me, that'll be extremely tough because I don't want to tell my son no.
Ultimately, you got to tell him some kind of truth to it,
though. I'm sure he's going
to
say, Dad, I promise I won't be woke. I won't be CNN. I'm like, all right, son, well, that's not the point, son. I mean, you got to understand, you go to school, teachers are going to try to force you to do that. That happened to me. That's why I started leaning to the right. Because I went to school as a communist. I graduated as a conservative.
I mean, I went to school as a kid that didn't give a fuck, and I could tell they were trying to push some shit on me. Because I learned that the hard way, too. Journalism, Hollywood, anything to do with media, consuming media, is very, like, liberal-based. And so they push that shit on you, and you're like, I'm not here to do that. I'm here to fucking chase my dream. Right. But I'm glad you brought it up because, dude, when I was a kid, I had a hard time with academics, dude. It wasn't that I was stupid. I just didn't give a shit. I had a hard time caring. And my parents would get pissed because they knew I was stubborn. And my stepdad finally was like, dude, if you can't get these grades up and shit, dude, I'm going to just kick you out of my fucking house. And then he was like, an honest to God truth, man, you need to be here every day after school and study instead of worrying about girls and getting high and whatever it is you're doing. And he's like, I'll make you a deal, actually. If you study and you work your ass off and I get a report card from you and it says that you did good on a quiz or even a test or even a freaking written assignment, for every good grade I see within that month, I will buy a wrestling pay-per-view. Because he didn't buy those. He bought the big four. That was it. But he was like, I'll make you that deal, dude. If you actually study and you get your shit
that's
together.
How you motivate a child. That's
how you motivate. Yep. I was going to say, because then I did it.
School would tell my parents that. Like, see, when my grades in fourth grade started getting better, you know, well, see, like, the teacher, like, every time I would do something, like, teacher would give me a piece of candy or, you know, something like that. And she noticed, well, Alex's behavior is changing. Like, see, if you do like that, he won't put up a child wants to go, I don't know, to. I don't know, the Sunday night that he wants to go to a Cowboys game. I'm like, okay, but here's the deal. We'll go, but you got to clean your room, listen to your mom, you know, do everything you need to do, and then we'll go.
Exactly.
And as he's making progress, you give him a little more to encourage him to keep doing it. And I don't scream at him. I don't say, you know, I basically be like, I smile, I tell, you know, I keep basically doing, you know, keep doing it. Like I'm gonna do like what my parents did. I'm not gonna make my son fear me. I want him to love me, not fear me.
That's gonna be your biggest goal, man. Because I can tell you that's my biggest battle.
If one day my son comes home and says a kid's picking on me, I'm like, all right. And then If I feel like here's the deal. If I go to the kid's dad, I'm gonna probably learn that I'm gonna learn where the kid gets that from. So
yeah, that's what I learned too, man. Every time I have an interaction with a shithead kid that my daughter's dealing with, I see the parents, and I'm like, yeah, that fucking explains it, dude. Oh. It goes back to the saying though, man, hurt people hurt people. And you got to teach your kids that too, because if kids don't know that the world is mean, dude, it's going to hit them by surprise and it's going to hurt. It's going to weaken them. You can't go around telling your kids that the world sucks, but you can't really go around telling them that it's all fucking sunshine and rainbows. You kind of have to warn them about this shit. Like, yo, some other kids are mean. This is why. This is what you need to do for yourself, because again, you don't want to like tarnish that image. Like, man, I couldn't tell you that. Like, if I had a dollar for every fucking day or every time that I looked at my oldest kid and wanted to cry and was like, please don't grow up because I see how happy she is, I'd probably be a fucking millionaire, dude. Like, you don't want that to leave your kid, because you see that twinkle in your kid's eye and you can see the world through their lenses. You see what it's like as a kid again. I learned that with like shit that really drives me nuts, like Christmas time and all that. Oh my God, dude, I hate that time of the year. But I do it because A, my wife loves it. It's her favorite time of the year. And B, the kids just, they love it, dude. You can see Christmas again as a child through their eyes. So that's why you don't want to ruin the world for them. You don't want to tell them, because the second they learn that, they're going to lose their innocence. And I remember when I lost my innocence, dude, I was a teenager and like, I was telling my mom about it and she actually cried, because she was like, I'm not mad at you, man. I'm just crying because I'm mourning the loss of your innocence. Like, you're not a child anymore. You understand how shitty this world really is. And that sucks, because nobody wants to see that. But in a way, you have to kind of implement on your child, like, hey, while things may be good on this side, there's other places that are dark. And I'm not sitting here saying tell your kids to punch motherfuckers in the face, but if a kid comes around touching you, punch him in the fucking face. Like, I'm one of those parents.
Part of me says, like, if a kid punches my son and bullies my son, I'll just go to the kid and like, well, why don't you hit me? Why don't you hit me? Are you tough? Why don't you hit me?
I used to love when my stepdad would do that for me, dude. My stepdad would like watch me walk to school if some kids were fucking with me and I told him about it. He would pull up, dude, and interrogate these kids, and then they would act all cool all of a sudden, like, oh no man. And I'm like, dude, that's what I'm gonna do for my kids, because most parents tell their kids, get over it, you'll be fine, ignore it, which is something I've kind of erred myself in. I've definitely at one point told my kid, grow thicker skin, just get over it. And I shouldn't have said it, because again, that's something that I was told as a kid from different sides of the room, and that kind of made me weak as a kid.
That's literally the exact opposite of what I was told. My dad's like, they fuck with you, you fuck with them right back. They'll respect you for it.
Well, it wasn't until I was in middle school that my mom was like, I've had it. If some kid fucks with you, please hit him. Because she got tired of hearing me bitch and moan about getting bullied all the time. And so, dude, one day I had it with this kid. He wasn't really even fucking with me. Like, I never had an issue with this kid. He just came up to me, though, and, like, started asking me questions about, what was it? Oh, my PSP. I brought my PSP to class that day, and he just, like, I didn't like the vibe, dude, all right? He grabbed it, and then he dropped it all hard, and he was, like, kind of, like, giving me kind of fucked up one-liners. Like, I could tell he was trying to fuck with me, but he wasn't somebody that I saw as a threat. Like I said, I never had really any interaction with this kid, but he was getting on my fucking nerves, and I didn't like the way he was touching my shit. And every time I was like, yo, give it back, he would hold it away from me. And I'm like, I don't play like that, dude. Like, that's not a joke. I just lost it on this kid, dude. He had some headphones on just like these. They were big ass ones. And like, I fucking just like, I clocked him really hard, and I broke I broke one side of his earphone, and I crushed something in his ear, and he bled. Well, I got in trouble, as you can imagine. Cops were involved. Luckily, it didn't go to court. Nobody got any tickets or nothing. It was just a simple case of, ma'am, your kid does not need to be hitting other kids. He's going to be suspended for a week. That kid had it coming. Like, the principal was fully aware the kid was a douchebag. He was like, no, your son was correct in defending himself. However, I am not allowed as a principal to tell you that. So we went home, and my mom was like, you know what? I'm proud of you for standing up for yourself, and you are not in any trouble. It sucks because when you get back, you're going to have a lot of work to take care of, and you're probably going to have homework being dropped off to you that you have to do, but consider this a vacation. So I learned that, man. I was like, no one fuck with me after that. And then I went into middle school, same thing. Only this time, that kid was a fuck face from the very beginning that I met him. Dude, he was a dickhead. He ended up becoming my best friend, though, after I fucked him up. Like, and I really didn't even fuck him up, dude. I just took a lunch tray, dude, and I bashed it over his head. And, like, that was enough to send him into trauma. So, you know, I became that kid's friend after that, and we still talk to this day. But the point I'm making is I do think we need to welcome that back. You need to tell your kids, because this world is so fucked up, they're going to have to defend themselves against assholes. There's plenty of them, man. I mean, not every kid is fucking nice. And it's probably because their parents are dickheads to them. I'm a full-on believer that...
Well, one of my bullies was like that. And, you know,
right.
His
dad was probably bullying him. Yeah.
He refuses to accept that as an excuse.
That's the
sad part. Well, here's the deal. You have more balls than most of the bullies. You've admitted to it. It's sad. It's true, because that particular guy, one time after so much taunting, he just looks at me and smiles, and then punched him right in the mouth. I was like, see, his parents were divorced and his dad had custody. And then after that, mom came over, and then she literally looked at me and she did this to me. I'm like, okay. And then she's like, you're probably wondering why I'm bad. I'm like, well, ma'am, I mean, he did this, did that. I'm like, I know. But, and then she said,
hold on, you're cutting out. What'd you say?
Oh, I think we lost him.
Oh, no. Yeah, your connection's really choppy, bro. Ah, okay, it's getting a little bit better. Sorry, your connection got really choppy for a second there.
Yeah, it's been a big issue, but I think the biggest problem is that schools do not do anything to stop bullying. I mean, this whole kids will be kids crap. No. You see a child bullying another child, you step in, you do something about it. You go directly to the parents, and if the parent blows it off, here's the deal. You tell the parent, here's the deal. He does it again, he's suspended. You got it? He does it after that, he's expelled, and we will press charges.
Well, I feel like schools promote bullying too, man. Like when I was in high school. In my case,
they did. When I was in that French international school, bullying was not only tolerated, but it was encouraged. Teachers bullied me. They even told the kids, you should do it too. I'm not even kidding. I swear on my grandfather's grave.
Shit, man. If you ever want to find some humor in that, though, because I know that is that's a traumatic experience, because bullying is not right for anybody to have to experience. But if you'd like a little twist that'll make you laugh, have you ever seen a show called Eastbound and Down?
No, I've never. No, I'm not. No. I know the song, but I don't know the show.
Yeah, so it's got Danny McBride in it from anything you can think of that's funny. But
Apple Express.
Yeah, he's a washed-up baseball player that's trying to become a teacher. And, like, the first episode, dude, he goes into the class and he's, like, the substitute for the gym teacher. And this kid just starts, like, talking, like, my dad said you ruined baseball. And he's like, all right, anyone wants to bully a kid? That one right there, because I ain't looking. And it made me laugh because I was like, bro, that's how the teachers fucking were. That's the sad part. Like I was saying, dude, I think that schools promote it because you have all these groups that are supposed to be anti-hate. Like when I was in high school, my school founded a group called No Place for Hate, and it was the biggest bully conglomerate I can think of. Like they used bully tactics to bully bullies. They promoted violence towards bullies. They promoted hate towards anyone that disagreed with them. Even if you're like, hey, your tactics are a little weird, you're a bully, you're a victim blamer. Like, that's not a good thing to have, dude. That just teaches kids fucking beat kids up, even if you think your message is right. I feel like schools do promote that shit. But the moral of the story is words can hurt you. And that's what we've been talking about this entire episode, that the things that you hear as a kid, they do walk with you for the rest of your life. even the things that you try to laugh at, things that you try to forget. I remember, I'm not going to get into detail because then I'm going to throw a fit, but there was one distinct time in my life where a parent of mine, I overheard them talking about my weight and basically calling me a disgusting fat pig. Again, I'm not naming names because that's just personal information that doesn't need to be out there. And
I I need to apologize for it.
He's like, oh shit, he heard I was there. He's like, he was wrong. I actually said he was a piece of shit. But basically, dude, that shit fucked with me. Like, it followed me all my life. Like, to this day, I still think about it. I'll be like, man, fucking ass. Like, I'll start getting all upset for no reason. But, like, even though I find it funny.
I'm pretty sure karma dealt with him. The only unfortunate part is that you didn't see it.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. It's like, it sucks, dude, because I wish more people would talk about this stuff. The things you say, it walks with you the rest of your life and with others, especially if you're a parent. And you're a kid and you hear those awful things. You will take them with you into your adult life and you will implement those on your children if you don't see the error in that way, the way you were raised and the way you raise your kids. Man, I feel like I should have talked about this when I was on another podcast recently. This was exactly the topic we were talking about, and I just like completely derailed it with political talk. But unfortunately, gentlemen, we have hit the end of the road. So before we close, Alex, as always, let the people know where they can find you.
Find all my shows wherever you get your podcast. Got Cowboys Talk, which Austin will be on to do the pre-draft stuff. Got Internet FC for soccer, but I call it football. Got the greatest pro wrestling podcast in the world, Ringside Chaos. And actually, I should announce that I recently revived my video game podcast. And Tony and Austin will be recurring guests on that show as well.
Yes! Now that I'm excited for.
And for those of you out there, for the pre-draft stuff, here's the deal. Austin is going to tell it like it is. So if you don't like it, well, here's the deal. Suck it up.
Yeah. Otherwise, thank you everybody for listening. And as always, Austin buddy, I will see you on the next one.
Adios.